Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
Joyful, joyful.
You're in the Spirit Lounge on Joy 94.9 with the
Priest,
the Pom,
and the Poof.
This is the show where we talk about spirituality and sexuality for our community.
Good evening and welcome to Spirit Lounge, and you're with the Protagonist and the Poof and the Priest. And hello to the Pom if you're listening. Well, tonight we are going to talk to a young gay activist who also happens to be a Christian minister.
It sounds interesting, actually. I was reading the notes. I was preparing,
Joy. Oh, my gosh. What's wrong with you, Lindsay?
I know, declared it today a public holiday in community broadcasting land. But it sounds absolutely interesting because, his dad, to me, just reading these notes, very, very strong man.
Yes,
as
he
I
is.
Like quite, strong people.
Quite an amazing young man.
Mm.
My preparation consisted of Joy sending me an email saying, doesn't his photo look like he's an activist?
How do you look like an activist? You wear purple and green and have dreadies.
Well, I don't know, because that's what Andrew actually said when he saw him, not me. He said, he looks like an activist. And I thought, oh, okay.
Oh, Andrew.
But he is an activist, you know. Let's face it.
Andrew.
Mm. Yes. Anyway, we will be talking to him later in the show. To kick it off, let's have a bit of music, shall we?
I don't see why not.
This one's one of my favourites. It's by Delta Goodrum, and it's called Not Me, Not I.
Joy 94.9.
And you're on a Spirit Lounge with Lindsay, Joy and Andrew. Now, we've got some news about a group called Exodus, haven't we?
Oh, we do, Joy. And this is actually, I think, overtaking the marriage rights thing at the moment. I think it's the praying the gay away, basically. And I just adore these people because they're sort of like the Pauline Hansons and all that. They really get you talking. That's my point of focus is people like that, they just get you talking. And these articles just get us all talking and laughing as well in some cases. Unfortunately, it's very sad.
But they've decided that gays cannot be turned straight. I mean, really, how many years has it taken for them to decide that?
Hello, it's the 21st century. But I think, the thing about this, it says here, the leader of the global gay cure church, Exodus International, has declared that gays cannot be turned straight and that so-called reparative therapy may be dangerous. Well, I mean, we've discussed it on this show. I said before, Ben TV, we did a debate a few weeks ago that's coming on air soon. And anybody that is of the clergy or, well, yeah, they say the same thing. You are what you are, basically. But the President, Alan Chambers, is said to have shocked the ex-gay movement with his vault-faced and his facing accusations of heresy, the New York Times reports. Speaking at the group's annual meeting last week, he said homosexuality, that's not only people who have sex at home, cannot be cured and that people can be damaged by therapy designed to turn them heterosexual. Hello. Mr. Chambers is said to have repeated his views in a number of public statements. In January, he told a Gay Christian Network conference that 99.9%, well, that's like, you know, those germ lotions and potions. Yes. It's always 99.9% of gay people going through the controversial therapy had not experienced any change in their sexual orientation. He also apologised for the ambiguity of the group's former slogan, "Change is Possible." Joy, I mean, it's a little bit, you know, one of the things that came up, I think it was about 18 months, 2 years ago now, is the Mormons came out and actually said sorry to gays, didn't they? Like, Mormons have sort of accepted gay people. I know I read that somewhere. You're looking at me quizzically.
Yes, I am.
Yeah. Didn't you hear that?
Last week we were talking about a group of Mormons who actually left because of the Mormon views on homosexuality.
Okay.
So I think probably like any church, there's difference in different churches.
Different,
like,
yeah.
You know, all the Mormon churches are not the same. Like, the Christian churches are not the same. But I liked, you know, he goes on to say that while the Bible condemns homosexuality, he believes that gay people who continue to have gay sex can still go to heaven.
Oh, well, I'm wiping my brow on that one. Thank you so much, Mr. Chambers.
But then he says, I believe that any sexual expression outside of heterosexual monogamous marriage is sinful according to the Bible. But we've been asking people with same-sex attractions to overcome something in a way that we don't ask of anyone else. I mean, this is really weird. So I'm not sure what he's saying. I'm not sure if he's saying, well, you're a sinner, so you might as well just have sex and enjoy it.
Well, yeah.
And you're going to go to heaven anyway.
Yeah.
Or is he going to say, well, therefore you can't have sex because, you know, if you do, then it's a sin. I don't know.
Yeah. But Mr. Chambers, who says he used to be gay, added that he was happy in his heterosexual marriage, which is probably to a lesbian who has no sexual interest in him at all.
0.1%, is he?
I think he is. He's 0.1% that no matter how much of that 99.9% of removing germs that you spray on anything, he's that, you know, that 0.1% that just isn't going to go. But you know what? I find this stuff so terribly insulting because, you know, if you look at, I can remember going to religious instruction and the priest saying, you know, that you can murder somebody and God will forgive you. Okay. So Charles Manson, according to the Catholic Church, he will go to heaven because he'll be forgiven because of his sins. Okay. And he's a bit of a nasty pasty, the old, you know, Charles Manson. But if you're gay and you love somebody, because that's what it's about, it is about loving somebody of the same sex. Emotionally, you respond to people of the same sex, that these people are sending us to hell. And I just find it absolutely insulting, and they don't even know how ridiculous they are. And I think that's a really sad thing, is that, you know, we're being condemned because we love, and yet people who murder, oh, well, look, you're forgiven, all's well, up you go. You know what
but
I'm saying?
I what concerns me is the damage that these people do. And I've shared the story that I actually went to got sent to Exodus and failed miserably.
Joy, we're glad you did, love.
But I luckily did not go to these groups, because I believe hearing stories from people that is so demeaning, being made to sit in a group and say, my name's Joy and I'm a lesbian. No, you're not allowed to say that, are you? I'm straight, but I had lesbian thoughts this week. You know, I mean, really, how does that help anyone get over?
It's therapy 101, really, isn't it?
But I heard from a gay guy that it was a really good place to go and pick up for a one-night stand or, you know, quick sex, that to go to these groups.
Yeah. But, you know, the thing is that, you know, when you were at Exodus, you know, your underlying, you know, what you were thinking deep within yourself and deep within your soul must have been, this is just so terribly wrong. And there's no way that once you know who you are, what you are and what you want, that cannot be broken, no matter what.
Yeah, but, I mean, you're told by a church that the only way that you can be accepted within the church is if you do this. Now, this church is where your friends are. You have this belief that, yes, I want to be a Christian, but the only way I can be a Christian is by doing this.
Mm.
So you go along with it. And I went along with it to a certain extent, even though I knew that I wasn't going to change, that this was who I was, until I turned up for my session and they had this woman here, and I said, oh, who's this person? Oh, she's going to pray for you. And I said, but who is she? Oh, well, she's going to cast out your demon of homosexuality. And I went, well, I don't think so. Thank you very much. And I walked out.
See, you know, I would have done that just to see what happened, whether when she left the room, whether I was still gay. But you see, don't these people get that just how antiquated these processes are at the end of the day? Like, it's just...
But the final straw was when they told me I had to throw away my Katie Lang
CDs. Oh, no, blaspheme.
I couldn't do that.
You wouldn't have been welcomed back into any community and into our community after that one, Joy. I'm sorry.
So I was like, no, I'm not throwing away Katie Lang. After the messages we're going to hear, we're going to have a song called Newsboys, God's Not Dead. Good evening, and you're on Spirit Lounge. And we believe that Carl must have been arrested, don't we?
Best laid plans of mice and men.
Well, he's not after his phone, so maybe they confiscated it at the jail. He was probably out there protesting.
Doing something activist-y.
Yeah.
And long and short of it is, we can't get a hold of him. It's a bit of a shame.
Well, no, that's all right. We have dragged Max in here. Now, Max is doing the Taste of the Radio course. Max is also from a Salvation Army background. And Max, we read a statement last week from MCC about this furor over what we said. Can you remind us what was exactly said? Do you know what he actually said on the radio interview?
The actual radio interview had a couple of points. One was that they referred to gays to be killed was one of the points that caused a lot of problems.
Well, that's a bit dramatic.
It was, and that's what caused a lot of angst amongst both the gays and the salvos.
Well, it's quite an amazing statement to make. Did he have a little breakdown, or what sort of happened to him?
The quote came actually as a Bible reference, not an actual statement made by the person.
So this is not in the Salvation Army doctrine?
No.
No, okay.
Oh, that's all right, because next time I've been running away from Salvation Army people. Every time I've seen that uniform, I've been running, baby.
No, it's just the tin you don't like.
It's the rattling of the tin. No, it was terrible. But one of the things is, though, that when, and I know it's very, very difficult because, you know, I know myself and everybody in this room, there are times when a microphone is in front of you or a TV camera is in front of you and you just mess up. You get a case of the nerves or whatever. I can understand a case of the nerves being in front of a microphone, but I think that he probably would have been used to that. But to come out on gay and lesbian radio with a comment like that, I mean, it was just so terribly wrong, so terribly inappropriate, and so it was homophobic. It was every one of those negative words. What's your slant on it? Do you think it was nerves? Do you think it was stupidity?
I really think he froze. And I've just read yesterday in the on the internet, a person put it down as being like a stunned rabbit in the spotlight.
Okay,
he was caught off guard. He came in with his with the prepared speech that the Salvation Army had given him to answer a question on a topic that had been put up on the front page of the daily paper.
Mm-hmm.
And so he came in to answer those questions, and he was caught off guard with another question that he had no quick
response to.
And I like the way this article in the thing, they're going to call it a major crab moment.
From here on, known as. I love it. But, you know, the thing was, and you know, hats off to Pete and Serena for the interview, because it is an amazing interview. And they did sort of manage to handle it incredibly well. And it's, you know, says a lot for community media, da-da-da-da-da. But, you know, I think in this case, you know, the... It was interesting the way that the gay community did respond to it, because yes, it did hurt. Yes, it did make us angry. But at the same time, you know, the people who I spoke to about this said that the Salvation Army do an awful lot of good work for gay people, straight people, bi people. They don't discriminate.
Very much so. And having come from a Salvation Army background. I was born into the Salvation Army. My parents were ministers. My brother's a minister. I was a minister. So to actually come through this last 3 weeks of yuck, and yeah. It was angst. It was, yeah. You know, what side of the fence am I sitting on? And I know where the gay GLBTI community were coming from with the way the words were. I can't get married, so I have to remain celibate. Yeah, right. I'm a gay male. I'm also single, but I'm also a Christian and a salvo. So I've got to put all those into perspective. I'm also 55. What hope have I got?
Love you, don't look it.
What hope have I got now? You know, and if, as the problems arose from early in the year when the Salvation Army sided with the Australian Christian lobby to be against gay marriage, that was the kickstart of all the angst.
So your position within your family, can we talk a little bit about that? Because, you know, what was your mum and dad's response? I mean, because firstly, you're out to them.
I am.
Right.
I am.
So this would have been an open discussion that they probably wanted to have with you or needed to have with you.
It was a discussion that they had when I got arrested.
Oh, you heard it here first, folks.
That's as good a time as any.
Max was arrested.
That was back when I was living in Queensland. And in Queensland, it was illegal to be a homosexual back in the 1990. Now, I moved from Sydney, where I'd come out in Sydney. I'd left the ministry because I was gay. And because I knew that I could not be part of that ministry, because I knew the orders and regulations of being a Salvation Army officer, you could not be a gay practicing person be a minister.
Is that still the same today?
There's a lot of soul searching going on from international headquarters right through all the territories and the countries. So they're all trying to find an answer. And this article that I've just written, been reading on the internet, has brought out all of that. Because we're an international army, it starts from the very top, as we're a military type of worded organisation. So our general is the one who sits down with all the heads of department and they formulate all the statements they need. But our membership was an act of Parliament back in 1932, I think. This person who's written this has gone into such detail and putting it all together. I said, it's the best article I've read that comes from both sides, from a gay side, from a church side, from a Salvation Army side, understanding where it all comes to. So for me, with my family, my parents are very, very supportive. I think deep down they do hurt that I can't have the same life that my brother has. He's married, he's got two children, and he's very happy doing the work he's doing, and I give him as much support as I can. I try and be a minister in my own right, because I still feel that I'm a minister. I was called by God. Now, God doesn't call people who, you know, he doesn't like.
Yeah. What's that saying? Many are called, few are chosen.
That's it.
That's the one.
Well, we're going to go to our next track, but Max, thank you very much for coming in and talking to us. And we'll let you go back to your Taste of Radio course.
Thank you.
And did you know Sayo Biscuits? You know Sayo Biscuits.
Definitely.
They're Salvation Army officer biscuits.
It was made because the person who was the manager of that, his father was an officer.
There you go.
And he wanted a biscuit that he could have that wasn't too decadent.
And that was the Sayo Biscuit.
Yes. Well, there you go. A wealth of information.
That's your trivia for the night. And after this, you're going to hear Boy George and Culture Club with Bow Down Easter.
The most diverse sound for the most diverse crowd. Joy 94.9.
To find out more about Joy 94.9, check out joy.org.au.
And you're on Spirit Lounge on Joy 94.9. And we've had to put up with Lindsay singing through most of it. Oh, I'm so traumatised now, folks.
I tried to turn up the speakers in the studio to drown her out. But oh, no.
And she sang louder and louder.
Just louder, louder. Oh,
I know. It was one of those earphone situations. You know, you put the earphones on, you think that nobody can hear you. Of course you can, because I was reading about our next article. But I have to say, and Andrew's actually asked me to say this on air, but if you're feeling really, really sad, and believe me, I have put this to the test and it works. If you're feeling really, really sad about something and you start singing Hare Krishna, it automatically lifts your spirits, believe me. And I did it one day in town.
And outside the restaurant?
Outside the restaurant.
With the people in orange?
On Swanson Street.
I'm not talking about state emergency service people either.
Yeah, I had my kun and, you know, I was, you know, in my orange and my little tingy winkies. But I actually saw these two street people having a fight, and it was just really horrible, and it really, really upset me. And I don't know why Hare Krishna came into my head, but I started playing that in my head, and automatically I felt, like, happy, not happy the situation I was in. It didn't, you know, stop the street people from fighting in front of me, but I felt a lot happier about life because it was one of those situations that, you know, it was just terrible. It was just shocking. Anyway, while I'm chanting Hare Krishna in my head, I actually realised that my lips were moving in time. As you do with, oh my God, I'm going to be the next one that's locked up here. But yeah, so try it, folks. When you're feeling a little bit down and depressed, start singing Hare Krishna.
Put your orange on, go down to Burke Street or Swanson Street.
Eat some vegetarian food. Well, I've actually heard, I would say this is a malicious rumour, but I've actually heard, because I used to eat at the Hare Krishna's quite a lot because it was, I think it was like $3.95 all you could eat and a you know, nice yogurt drink. But these friends of mine told me that the Hare Krishna's actually put a herb in their food to stop you from wanting sex.
Oh my gosh, yeah. That's horrible.
Now, I can say the whole time that I was eating at the Hare Krishna's, there was not much activity, believe me. But, you know, whether that's true or not, I don't know.
What's their view on sex, do you know?
Like anybody else. No, I think, actually, if anybody's out there that's Hare Krishna, that is a, you know, a Krishna person, and Loka Nanda would be the perfect person to ask here. But I think that, I don't think they believe in marriage, but they do believe in partners or something, or having sex to have children. I think that's how it goes. So they actually have sex to procreate.
Little Hare Krishnas.
To have little Ramas, yeah. Little Hare Ramas. But yeah. But I look, and, you know, I know the Hare Krishnas drive people mad, but I actually looked at, you know, Hare Krishna, a little bit of Hindu and stuff like that, and it's really a beautiful, beautiful religion and philosophy.
Now, I need to ask you a question about Buddhism. Mm. Are you ready for this?
Oh, God, don't make it too deep, because you know I'm not the best Buddhist in the world. I'm a naughty Buddhist.
Yeah, but we like naughty Buddhists. I was watching a program on, I better not say where, was I? It was about chaplains.
Mm.
And there was a Buddhist chaplain.
Mm.
And she went to visit this man who had cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And he was dying, and the wife was there, and in the hospital. And she basically said to him, "Well, you just got to put up with it because you've obviously done the wrong thing in a previous life." And I just thought, "Oh, how cruel is that?" She said, if I say that, then that makes him happy. Well, how can that make you happy? I'm sorry you're dying because you've stuffed up in a previous life, even though you didn't know it. So now you're paying for it with karma.
Yeah.
I found that quite astonishing.
I find that a little bit cruel myself, but I think that that's just, I think, you know, throughout your Buddhist life and as throughout your Buddhist journey, you do, one of the things is about suffering, okay? And if you remove suffering, well, we're a lot happier. And suffering comes from, you know, wanting things that we can't have and relationships that break up and we get very, very angry. It's not saying that Buddhists don't get angry and don't get hurt, but it's how you channel that anger and how you look at that anger and don't project it onto other people, et cetera, and so forth. Look, in this instant, I just think that she's, you know, just doing her job, to be honest. I mean, you know, it is one of those things that It is about karma. I thought you were going to say that she meditated and he came back to life and, you know, now he's, you know, living in Tibet and building a condo or something.
Oh, no, I think he died.
I'm sorry.
And it was his fault because he misbehaved in a previous life. So I found that a little difficult.
Look, it is a little bit harsh, but it is one of those things that that is the Buddhist practice and what their belief is. So that, you know, what she's basically said, but, you know, in an instance like that, I was hoping that you were going to say that she was reading from the Tibetan Book of the Dead and was chanting and, you know, going through that absolutely beautiful ritual, but instead she was...
No, I found her
she
quite...
She was harsh.
I found her quite very harsh.
Ah.
And I... Which I was quite surprised, and I wondered if it was she'd gone through a really difficult time in her life and whether it was almost protecting her, because that would be terribly difficult working in hospitals.
Oh, yeah.
And I think it is so, it takes it out of you. But, I just found it absolutely
He was obviously Buddhist.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Well, he would know that. He would have accepted that anyway.
I don't know. He didn't look very happy about it.
Hey, I got things to do.
We're going to play our next track now, and it's called Amazing Grace, My Chains Are Gone. So it's a modern version of the old Amazing Grace, and this is by Chris Tomlin.
Joy 94.9.
And we're on Spirit Lounge on Joy 94.9, and you're with the Poof, the Priest and the Protagonist. Now, we've got a message from Ray, who thinks we're so witty. Well, we love you, Ray, too.
You can come back, Ray.
Yeah. You've got such good taste. He's talking about an antique Chinese dragon incense burner that he bought on eBay.
Mm.
And how, when he received it, he put some incense in it. And he was wondering if this is some kind of spiritual act. Well, yes, it is. Mm. I mean, it's what you make it. You can make a spiritual act out of anything. And a spiritual act is not... I mean, people think about prayer as a spiritual act. But to me, I often talk to people about prayer and say prayer's not about words.
No.
Most of the time. It's about all sorts of things. It can be tears. It can be a song. It can be... I mean, I remember going to visit a friend who was in a really difficult situation, and two of... people that she knew had been killed, and she rang me and said, can you come round? And I went round and took the bottle of wine and the pizza, you know.
Yeah.
And we had the pizza and the bottle of wine. We just sat on the floor and she lit candles and cried, and we just hugged each other. And she, to me, that's a spiritual act.
Absolutely, Joy. And getting back to Ray, like, one of the things, you know, this is actually the year of the dragon, and I think it's very fortuitous to actually buy a dragon or have a dragon close by you. But, Ray, one of the things about the dragon is I think that the dragon needs to go into your northwest corner in whatever room you choose to put it in. But check that on the internet. Go, like, you know, I can't tell you any sites or anything.
She'll send you a compass tomorrow.
But, I mean, it's easy to work out your northwest corner. I mean, I did it.
It's easy.
It was only because 5 minutes earlier I was living in Brunswick and moved to Parramatta. Well, that way, Sydney Road. But right, and I think you bought sandalwood incense, which is also very, very good to attract money as well. And sandalwood is I think it's very good for digestion or something like that. You know, if anybody out there knows, please correct
me. But what about if he wants to attract a partner? What sort of incense would he put then?
Rose is very, very good.
Oh,
a
okay.
Rose incense. And a friend of mine told me, and I actually did this, but nobody's banging on the doors yet. red is the colour of passion. So if you burn a red candle and some rose incense and just sit there and just think about the person that you would, you know, like to attract into your life, but you should never, ever, ever have a person in mind, because you never, ever know what you're getting. So you think about the things, the attributes in human beings that you like, and you ask for that to come to you rather than the person. But, Ray, yeah, I think I'm starting to sound like, you know, ring Lindsay.
She's preach it, woman.
Yeah.
I love
Aliyakamala.
But I love using candles, though. I love sitting with a candle and just you know, lighting the candle and just sitting with it. I think that there's a lot of ways of worshipping, of praying, of being spiritual, of connecting.
And that's one of the things I said earlier about Hinduism. I think it's perfectly sensible to have a god for everything. And, you know, like there's Ganesh for wealth and confidence and things like that. But also too, Ray, I've got a gold dragon in my northwest corner, but I also have a Japanese luck pot. And it's just a little ginger pot. And inside there, you write down your wishes and you can put a... like a token or anything that you believe will bring you luck into the pot as well. And you write down your wishes, put them in the pot. And I've got, you know, those two together. And it works well because since I've done that, there's always been, you know, a bit of moolah in my purse.
Yeah, I'm not sure about that one. it's a bit like the prosperity, the, you know, way they preach it at some of the churches that...
Yeah, but I think yeah. it works, Joy. I think that, it, you know, look, I find these people a little bit difficult at times. I have to say that, you know, they say, when you get up in the morning, just thank the Lord that you're alive, you know, you're here. And, you know, sometimes you wake up in the morning, you think, oh, I don't want to be here. I just want to go back to bed, you know, forget about the world. But I think that there is really something about thinking positive, about turning things around, and it's just about, you know, when you hear something, just strip off a layer.
But
you know?
I think sometimes we get so caught up in what we want and it's all about, you know, we do this because we want something, we want a partner, we want money. But I believe it's more about, you know, what can we give also? And I think that, that sometimes we get too caught up in us and we need to actually... And for many churches... It's about them. It's about their social club. And I remember you used to say at church, this is not your church. This is God's church. And we are called to minister out into the world, not to sit on our bums and feel comfortable. And I think for me, certainly with spirituality, is it doesn't leave me feeling comfortable. It challenges me. It stretches me. It makes me grow. And I love that about my Christianity and learning about other faiths too. It challenges me as a person. And I think that we need to be more about what can we give rather than what can we get or what can we take.
That's the basic law of the way that the universe works, because what you put in, you get back. And the universe isn't going to, whether it's God, the universe, you know, Ganesh, Buddha, whoever, isn't going to give you unless you have earned it or you deserve it.
But I don't think we should do things just so that we deserve or get something back. We need to do something out of our belief, out of our belief that we are here to serve.
Absolutely.
And that's the basis.
So not necessarily, so my take on it is that when you're doing something, when you're giving of yourself, it's not expecting any sort of return, not expecting anything to come to you from your actions. It's completely, you've taken yourself out of the equation.
It's ebb and flow.
I mean, let's face it, that would be great, but we are human, and so we are going to have of ourselves in there. I mean, you know, I work with volunteers. Now, no one volunteers just because they're totally good and that's all they want to give. We get something out of it. Otherwise, we wouldn't do it. And I think it's the same, but I think if our focus is not on what we get, we will get. And we will receive something to our spirit out of what we give in.
Absolutely. And I think that, you know, one of the flaws of that we make constantly, and it's one thing that we need to learn, I think once we learn this, is it life does become easier, is that when you do somebody a good turn, it's not up to that person to repay that turn. That goodness or that good karma will come back to you by somebody else. So, you know, if I do, you know, I think the best way to test this is that the next time you're in your car and somebody wants to pull out in front of you, don't let them. Okay, don't let them pull out in front of you. And you watch the next time that you, and it'll be within an hour or so, you need to pull out and somebody won't let you. But if you stop and give way to somebody that's pulling out of a car park or something, you can guarantee that 10 minutes down the road, when you need to do that, when you need somebody to step aside for you, that will happen. And believe me. And the other one, if I may, if when you're looking for a car park, all you need to say is parking angels full of grace, put this car in its rightful place and you get a car park like that.
Oh, gosh. Okay, Mark, the singer of that song, Amazing Grace, My Chains Are Gone, is Chris Tomlin.
Joy 94.9.
And you're on Spirit Lounge on Joy 94.9. We've actually managed to fill up the show, haven't we?
We have, and we hope it's been entertaining and enlightening.
Well, we're entertained, so what else matters, really?
Doesn't matter about the listener, you know.
We will try and get Carl out of jail before... Well, we don't know where he is. He might have been arrested for being an activist. We will seek to find him by next week. And we will hopefully talk to him on next week's show.
Now, if you'd like any more information about what we've been speaking about tonight, if you head to joy.org.au and follow the links through to the Spirit Lounge page, you'll be able to see our social networks and our blogs and all that stuff from there. So you'll be able to find more information.
So we're going to go out with Andrew's favourite, Kate Malahiki. Don't Let Go, and it's goodbye from the priest.
And it's Hare Krishna from me.
And good night from the poof.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with joy.